Annunciation, the King's Annunciation. And as we mentioned last week, you know, all the time we've been studying this chapter, that Jesus himself was in this stage in church history. He's coming to the end of his earthly ministry. And at this time, he's beginning to prepare to go to the cross. And can someone tell us, why was Jesus born? Why was Jesus born?
By love.
What's that? To
die.
Jesus was born to die. Jesus was born to die. And you and I are born to die as well. The Bible says it is appointed unto man. How many times to die? Once to die, and after this, the judgment. So every day that we live, in reality, we are closer to the grave. You and I are one day closer to the grave today than we were even yesterday. And so we have a responsibility for those of us who are Christians to understand that God wants something from us. What does God want from us? Anybody know?
Obedience.
He wants obedience. Well, what else does God want from us?
Relationship.
He wants a relationship. And that relationship comes with some conditions. It comes with some conditions. But God wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. God wants us to be saved. He did not come into the world. John 3. Someone read John 3, 17. John 3, 17.
For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved.
Yes. So he came that we might be saved. He sent his Son on a search and rescue mission, so to speak, to seek and save that which was lost. I'm trying to find the lesson. Put my glasses on so I can hear you. We are in Matthew chapter 23. Verses 13 through 36. Matthew chapter 23, verses 13 through 36.
Prayer, therefore you receive greater condemnation. What do
scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for the travel land that see it to win one proselyte. And when it's won, we make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. Verse 16. Woe to you blind guides who say, whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obliged to perform it. Fools and blind, of which is greater? The gold of the temple that sanctifies the gold. And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is on it is obliged to perform it. Verse 19. Fools and blind, for which is greater? The gift or the altar that sanctifies the gift? Therefore, he who swears by the altar swears by it and by all things on it. He who swears by the temple swears by it and by him who swears in it. And he who swears by heaven swears by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Verse 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. This you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Verse 24. Blind guides, who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisees, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Verse 29. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tomb of the prophets and adorn the monument of the righteous, and say, if you had lived in the days of our father, you would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophet. Therefore, you are witnesses against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophet. Fill up then the measures of your father's guilt. 3. Serpents, brood of vipers, how can you escape the condemnation of hell? Therefore, indeed, I send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Some of them will be killed and crucified, and some of them will be scourged in your synagogue and pursued from city to city, that on you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Peresh, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. And verse 36. Assuredly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation.
Thank you. So we said that this section is entitled The Denunciation of Pharisees. In this section we find 8 rules where Jesus is condemning the religious leaders, the Pharisees in particular. And we said alongside these 8 rules, we compare those with the 8 Beatitudes which we find in Matthew chapter 5. The first woe is found in verse 13 of our text, where Jesus says, in Matthew 23, verse 13, he says, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in." And the Beatitude is in Matthew chapter 5, in verse number 3. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 3, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And this poverty is the beginning of the Beatitudes, where Jesus says the Pharisees were hindering others or shutting up the kingdom for others to enter. But Jesus says the beginning of the Beatitudes are, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." This Beatitude suggests, first of all, we acknowledge and recognize our spiritual poverty before God in order to enter the kingdom, that we need God for everything, and He is our everything. Remember that. number two is found in verse 14 of our text. Someone read Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. Matthew 23, verse 14.
Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you know widows' houses, and for pretense, make not prayers, therefore to receive greater condemnation.
Yes, and so we said, Jesus is condemning the Pharisees here for this verse. Is not in many manuscripts of Matthew, but it's found also in Mark chapter 12 and verse 40, Luke 20 and verse 47. Instead of mourning their own sin, the Pharisees, and mourning the needy widows, the Pharisees took advantage of people to rob them, and they used their religion as a cloak for covetousness. And the Beatitude is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 4, which says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." What are we to mourn? What should Christians mourn?
For our sin.
For our sin. I like that, Brother George. You know, folks say, when you talk about mourning, most people think about a funeral or death. But when was the last time you mourned your sin? To say, "Lord, I'm so sorry that I have sinned against you and offended you." And so instead, they took advantage of the people. And so the third woe is found in verse 15, which we read last week. Verse 15 says what?
15. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel down the sea to move on proceeds, and when he's gone, you make him twice as much as the son of air as yourself."
And what did we say a proselyte is? What is a proselyte? In verse number 15, what is a proselyte? So they were Gentile and they converted to Judaism, because remember the church hadn't been established, so you're on the right line. So this is a person who converted to Judaism. Yes? And so here, Jesus is saying, and what's the context for us today? He says in verse number 15, "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, for you travel land and sea." You go to the extreme extents to do what? To make a convert. And when he is one, you make him twice as much a son of who? A son of hell. Are you helping this person? Huh? What did Jesus say should happen to a person who causes one of the least among us to stumble in his or her faith? What should happen to that person? It will be better for him if a what? A millstone be put where? Around his neck, and he be cast into the sea. What does that mean? What does that mean to you and me? It's not a good thing to do. How many of us have considered how our behavior, our actions, our attitudes can cause people to stumble, especially in the church? See, it's not who you are when we see you. Because it's all right, you know, we can act like we're holier than thou, water dust and melting our mouths, you know, we don't lose our temper. We don't act ungodly, but what happens when folks don't see us? What is character? What's the definition of character? What's the definition of character? Attitude. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Character is who you are when nobody's around. Huh? When the cat's away, what's going to happen? See, and is it James? It's either James or Peter, read both books. Says, don't serve the master just because he's watching. We can work real good when the boss is on the show, you know, when you can see it. But when the boss is not there, how we act? We're coming in late. Brother Smith, you were late this morning. That's what somebody's saying. Huh? Who's the master? He keeps good books. It's not who you see, that matters is who sees you. Huh? Your neighbors that you don't see you. They see you coming, they see you good. Your co-workers see you coming, they see you good. The folk on social media, are they getting a response? Because you could be somebody, we will say a lot of things to folk when we're not to the faith. I work in customer service. I got some good ones, and I got a lot of bad ones. I got a lot of bad ones. From George. Push my buttons. What's my job? Woe to you. What's a hypocrite? Somebody who pretends to be one thing and they're really not that thing. You see Denzel Washington, good actor. All those folks you see on TV, that's not the real thing. That may work in Hollywood and Bollywood or wherever, but that shouldn't work in the church. You and I should be the same person that we see on Sunday, that we see on Monday in the grocery store. I tell you that story about that sister many years ago. I'm walking in the grocery store one day like a good Christian short, minding my own business. And when I come around the aisle, there's a sister, and when she sees me, she's grabbing pieces to cover up her stuff. But I said to myself, well, what's she doing that for? Because what was she doing when I didn't see her? And it's not me, I'm not the judge. I'm not the judge, because the Bible says, Jesus says, you are the what? The light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. If the salt loses its flavor, how can it be seasoned again? If a salt loses its saltiness, it cannot be resalted. If a Christian loses his or her salt, you can't make it salty again. When you go to McDonald's and get those chips or fries, you want them to have what on them? Some salt. So Christians ought to be salty people. Damn. You understand that? So that's what Jesus is talking about. That's what he's talking about. Hypocrites. You go land and sea to make a proselyte, and you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourself. See, the world is doing what it finds natural. You don't get upset when a cat meows. Why? Because that's what God created the cat to do. Why do we get upset when the world does what it's supposed to do? But you and I are called to do something else. That's the point. Now, remember what I said a couple of Sundays ago. When you come to church, who comes with you? Now, I was working on this PowerPoint yesterday, and now it's not coming up. Who's there? That's that old computer devil in there, but it's not going to stop the lesson. Amen. Number four, verse number 16 through 22, greedy for gain. Someone read that for us, verses 16 through 22.
What are you blind by who speak? Whoever swears by temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple is obligated to perform it. Fools are blind, but which is greater, the gold or the temple? That satisfies the gold. And whoever swears by the altar is nothing, but whoever swears by the gift that is obligated is obligated to perform it. Fools are blind, but which is greater, the gift or the altar? That satisfies the gifts. Therefore, who swear by water, swear by it, and by all things of it.
Okay, so this beatitude, this is the fourth rule where Jesus calls them blind guides. The Bible says that the blind leads the blind. What's going to happen? They're both going to fall into the ditch. You're not going to follow a blind man, are you? You say, I'm trying to get to the grocery store, can you show me? And he said, well, I don't know where the grocery store is. Well, I'll show you. I'll do the best I can. He called them blind guides. It's a perfect description, one that must have brought a smile to the lips of the listeners. Jesus had used this before in Matthew chapter 15, verse number 14. Yes, the Pharisees were blind to the true values of life. Their priorities were confused. Don't you know that God sees the real you? God sees through all you. We can pretend. We can pretend all day. Huh? Just showing up is not enough. They will take an oath and use some sacred object to substantiate that oath. For example, the gold in the temple. For example, the gift of the altar. You ever heard folks say, "I swear to God"? Whenever you hear someone saying, "I swear to God," what's 9 times out of 10, what are they trying to do? They're trying to get themselves out of some trouble. "I swear to God, it wasn't me. It was Bob. It was so and so. It wasn't me, Mama. No, Mama. No, Mama. Wasn't me. No, Daddy. Wasn't me. I swear." Yeah? And so, but they would not swear by the temple itself or the altar. It was the temple that sanctified the gold and the altar that sanctified the gift. They were leaving God out of their priorities. Is it James? It's the book of James that says, "Come now, you say tomorrow we will do such and such," yeah, "or go to such and such a city." Where do you want to say what? God willing. Huh? How many of us make plans and don't include God in it? You want to call God willing. "I'll see you tomorrow. God willing. I'm going to send a check. God willing. I'm going to pick you up. God willing." How many of us have made plans for tomorrow? Tuesday, Wednesday, next week, next month, next year, we're going to do this and do that. For what is your life? James says, it is but a what? A vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's the reality for every single person on the planet. But don't we all do it? And we don't even think about it sometimes. It's just like second nature. And what is that what the Bible says? Huh? They were leaving God out of their plans and priorities. And the Beatitude is found in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 6, which says what? Hunger and thirst for righteousness. I said at the beginning, all of us have an appointment with death. That's a universal truth, an appointment none of us can follow. How many of us get hungry? Every last one of us. That's a human, a biological reality. All of us get hungry. But what does the scripture say? Blessed are those who want hunger and thirst. You know what it feels like to be hungry. You know how it feels to be thirsty. If you're thirsty, you don't want to stay. Am I right? When you're thirsty, I mean thirsty. I'm going to stay for you. You don't want that. But do be hungry and thirst for God's righteousness. What is righteousness? What do we say righteousness is? Matthew 6:33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God," and whose? And his. What does it say? His righteousness. Because we can convince ourselves that we are righteous, but that's not his righteousness. Righteousness is what? Right standing. Now, remember this, and you've heard me say this over and hammer this home. Jesus was to transform us from the inside out. And we're going to get to that as we go through this chapter. It's going to talk about the outside and the inside. He wants to transform us from the inside out. Yeah? And so, righteousness is a sincere desire to be right before God in our words,
actions and our thinking and our conduct towards Him. So everything we do in Christianity, we ought to run that through our biblical filter. How do we do that? Somebody's asking the question. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. In other words, that's the least you can do. And do not be conformed to what? What does conform mean? Do not let the world shape you. So, in America, it's called jelly. They call it jelly here. It's not real big in the UK like it is in America. You go and get yourself some jelly, and you get yourself a mold, some sort of mold. You put some hot water, dissolve it, and you pour it into that mold, Brother George, and maybe you put it in the fridge, and it becomes set. The jelly has conformed to the shape of that mold. So don't let the world shape you. That's what it's saying. But be ye transformed. What is transformation? What is transformation? Change what? Change what? From one thing to another. Are they both the same thing? No. So like when a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, huh? That's transformation. It has change completely over a natural process of time and biology. So I might look the same, but I'm not the same anymore. Do you transform? How do we do that? Through the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect. You know how I remember that? Remember that. Good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's all right.
Fill the gap.
I love it. I'm going to borrow that, Brother Duke. I'll give you credit for it. Amen. Fill the gap. And so how do you transform? Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. So you got to let this word. But what do we say? He wants to transform us where? From the inside out. So you got to get something in here so something can come out of there. You see that? And you know what our problem is? We're putting a lot of stuff in here, but it's not transforming us. Huh? Because you know what we do? You know what we do? We go back to that old stuff. You haven't transformed yet. What has changed? And I keep asking you this question. We've been studying this Matthew for a long time. What has changed? Have you changed?
Yes.
Amen. But I ought to see you. Somebody ought to see you. Those folk are watching. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what will be the reward? They shall be. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who will give us how much? Liberally, without reproach. So then I'm making plans. Lord, I will include you, Lord God. And Lord, I need wisdom because I've been making some bad choices. I want you to transform my thinking so my actions change. Now, sometimes the best thing to say is nothing. Talk less and listen more. But what do we do? We talk more and listen less. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. Some of us get a lot of exercise by jumping to conclusions and one of the comments. That was for free. So, the Pharisees were condemned because they were greedy for gain. But Jesus says, He will fill you, He will fill those who hunger and thirst for holiness. These men were not seeking for the righteousness of God,
They were greedy for gain. They worked on a religious system that permitted them to rob God and others and still maintain their reputation. How many over the years, I'm sure all of us can recall religious leaders, the downfall of religious leaders. Look at T.D. Jakes now. T.D. Jakes. Anybody know who T.D. Jakes is? Creflo Dollar, Jimmy Swagger, Jim Baker, Jim Jones, David Koresh. What happened? Were they hungry and thirsty for righteousness? It all ends the same way. Don't follow people who aren't following God. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says what? 1 Corinthians 11:1, you know this scripture. But what did Paul say? Imitate me as I imitate Christ. John 3:30. He must increase. We have a responsibility to call each other up. Yeah. Brother Smith, that don't look good. What is that? What's up with that? So is that seeking the kingdom? Is that going to be profitable? That's not going to work out, brother. You know, I've had people come to me and warn me, Brother Smith, that's not going to work out. I got a little. My back got up a little bit, but they were right. They were right. And when I come to you, I'm coming in love. Listen, I'm concerned. I want you to make it too. I don't want you to be called a hypocrite, you see? Because God wants us all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. What's our time? We got 4 minutes, 4 minutes, 4 minutes. Number five. Yes.
In a class like this, I don't like a question.
Yes.
In a class like this, the teaching class,
yeah.
I don't like a question.
Okay.
But okay. There are a lot of things we need to learn, there are a lot of effort we need to put in place.
Okay.
Like the one we got retinary now about is
yes.
This area I stand about the church.
Yeah.
Most time, let me opinion.
Yes.
The church and the MCD church like the brothers and sisters.
Yes.
You might be the one putting other brothers and sisters in danger like this.
Mm-hmm.
When we are here, we should not understand that Christ is church.
Yes.
And that one when the book acts, when when Peter was asking others prayers.
Yes.
How much do you say this?
Yes.
I want to believe that when any brother starts standing and saying a word, if truly we are Christian and are righteous,
yes.
You won't believe him or her.
Yes.
If you tell lies, that between you and God. The Bible says the heart of man. Nobody knows it. Yes. Except himself, between him and who and God.
Yes.
And when we are not perhaps in our way, that one most time I don't want the proof. I will tell you this is it. By the time I'm trying to bring out evidence to tell you that what I'm saying is true, then I'm not a Christian. You don't have to believe me.
Mm-hmm.
And that will not be hard in our attitude.
Yeah.
And now we're probably going to go outside the same thing, we do the same thing. By the time we said we're a Christian, I'm standing before you, yeah, I'm not standing before you, I'm standing before God.
Yes.
Yeah. And anything I'm going to say to you must be true. And if not truth, that means I myself put my life in danger. So we will try and find a way to emphasize on this. So that if you won't have to work more in our home,
yeah.
If I tell my wife this, I'm telling you what exactly has happened.
Yeah.
The Lord is with us. The Bible said, if you allow the word of God to dwell with us, he said himself and his son that we use our home as what? As abroad.
Yes.
So when we speak a word, it's not a thing that must be the first things, but be that truly we are child of God, and let we speak for the truth.
Mm.
It must not be that you have to do for it and looking for things to our righteousness. Whenever we look for two people, actually, there's an element of lying in it. And why is that? Because we want us to prove that what you say is there. Even if I'm not there, you told me one year now, just say, I believe in you. Once I believe in nature, it's by nature. And then I tell you now, it's a nature will be good.
Yes.
In When we encourage ourselves to let immorality a brother said is true, then let us give him and him or her to God to judge, so that we will not bring that then we will see a judge like just a normal room, a normal place. It's a holy place. God like this, he said, respect everything. Respect the place, things, and people. So we respect that when we are coming here, I want to see God. So everything I'm doing now, I'm not looking at anybody, I'm looking at God in front of me like this. Thank you.
Yeah, so you're absolutely right. However, always bear this in mind, that all of us learn at different paces, and we're all on different levels spiritually. So that, like in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit, just because, for example, you may have mastered or have control in one area, in the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, or whatever, depending on the individual circumstances, we don't know what each of us have had to challenges we face even to get here this morning. You know, someone has children, perhaps a child with disabilities, whatever challenges, just to get out of the house, to get to the church house. And then our mind may be burdened with different things. There may be things in the scriptures that may bring those things to the surface. You see? And so that's what the Word of God is for. But God has also given us in the New Testament, there's one another's assignment, bear one another's burdens, admonish one another, show, love one another. All of these assignments are given because you know what? It's like the human body. Today you may feel strong, tomorrow you may have a little headache. And so the whole body gets involved in order to bring assistance, comfort, support. Tomorrow you may be okay. And so as we and here's the reality, you and I can't see ourselves. You see, we are not our own mirror. The Word of God is our mirror. You see? And so when we look in, we say, oh, I need to work on that. Something may have been to say of today that you said, it's talking about me. No, I'm not talking about you. That's the Word of God. You see? So you say, I've got my assignment for this week. I've got to work on my whatever it is. I never saw that scripture that way. You ever said that to yourself? No, because it depends on where you are in that moment. You may, it's like vitamins and nutrients in your body. Your body may need a bit more, whatever. That's what we come from. The church is what? A hospital. Or broken beacons. You see? And so sometimes you may say something sincerely, and then somebody may come along the side and say, well, can I ask you a question? X, Y, Z? You know what? Actually, so we have a responsibility to test the spirits. You know what the scripture says, to see whether or not they're of God. So it's just like your children. They may say yes with their mouth, but my body language is saying something else. Are you okay? I'm okay. I say, you're not okay. Let's talk. You see? So you're absolutely right, but we should look out for the each other's best interests. Yeah, I think that's what you're saying. We should look out because what we accept and should not judge people based on our own bias in a way to condemn them, but rather to say, can I help you with something? When people stand up for prayers, you know, I have a need, but thank you for sharing that. I'm going to be praying for you, brother. If you need anything, I'm here for you. So now we know what to pray for, what our needs are. That's what we come for. So because we're not one-dimensional people. Yeah? And so I was talking to my sister just yesterday. You never know what a word of encouragement may do for a person. Yeah? And so we look out for opportunities to encourage, to build up. Because the world's beating us up. But when we come to the church house, we ought to find some love, some grace, and some mercy in Him. You see? And we ought to find some answers in the Word of God. But thank you for sharing that and reminding us all. Because we all need that. Sometimes we get all
distraction, or be held a message, we have a mission, and we hail each other. Let's pray.